the greatest mass physical healing meeting in history took place on Passover. Next.
It's supernatural.
Welcome, Holy Spirit. Go and flow. My guest, Chad Gonzalez, spent years studying healing. Most people see Passover as only a Jewish feast, but Chad says it was actually the single greatest night of mass healing in history. What happened on that night?
Sid, it's amazing. So Exodus 12, God gives Moses instructions about the Passover, how to cook it, how to eat it. He tells them to eat the entire lamb, stay behind the blood. And what's interesting is that we know the story that the angel of death was walking through, going through the camp, and the firstborn of every Egyptian household was dying. So you have the screaming and crying out of those that are dying in the household. But what we don't realize is that in the Israelite households, they're shouting and they're rejoicing because there was mass healing taking place throughout the entire land. You're talking about millions and millions of Israelites being instantly healed. Now, we don't see that in Exodus 12. But when we read Psalm 105 in verse 36 and 37, it says this: God destroyed the firstborn of all the land, and then he brought them out with silver and gold. And we usually stop right there, but if we continue further, it says, and there was not one feeble among them. And so what really happened was that when the Israelites left after that Passover, not only did they leave Egypt wealthy, they also left healthy. You're talking about in slavery for 430 years. You're talking about age-related issues. There's no OSHA. You've got work-related injuries, the diseases of Egypt. The stories that we see in the movies of the crossing of the Red Sea and people being carried on cots and walkers and stretchers, and that didn't happen. Not one, even the elderly had their strength renewed. They're walking across the Red Sea with the gold of Egypt and the health of heaven.
Now, there's many definitions that come into someone's head when they read the word feeble. But you know one of the definitions I looked up?
What's that?
Tired. With all those millions of people, all ages, that blaring sun in the desert, 40 years, no medicine, no nothing. There wasn't one tired person among them. That is mind-blowing. You say healing was not only an event, but a covenant. For starters, what's a covenant to you?
Well, you could just very simply say an agreement. You do your part, I'll do my part. And you see God establishing this covenant with the Israelites. And we see it's a very familiar passage in Exodus 15, verse 26. And to sum it up, basically God says, as long as you do what I tell you to do, all the diseases, everything that happened in Egypt, it won't come upon you because I am the Lord your healer. That's where we get the phrase Jehovah Rapha, that name of God. You could also read it like this in the Hebrew: I am now your doctor.
Yeah, if you want a doctor in Israel, you say Rapha.
Yeah, and God is establishing this. But it's interesting is because when he says, I'm your healer, it wasn't in response to him just healing their body, and then he says, I'm your healer. The healing took place 3 days before because the context of it, they're 3 days out, and they come to the waters of Marah, they're thirsty. God heals the waters, and he says, now I'm your healer. And then in Exodus 23, he continues in establishing this, and he goes further, and he says this. Basically, as long as you do everything I tell you to do, I'll take sickness away from the midst of you, number one. Number two, he said, you'll never be barren. Number three, he said, you won't die young. And number four, he said, there will be no miscarriages. Now, you think about that. That's pretty astounding right there. But again, he's not promising to heal their bodies. They're already healed. God was not promising.
That's a big distinction.
It's huge because God is not promising health insurance. He's not promising when you do get sick, I'll heal you. He's promising disease prevention. That as long as you do everything I tell you to do, you'll never get sick. You'll be untouchable. It won't be able to get near you. And then you go even further in Psalm 91, which we have all heard, we've all know. But if you read Psalm 91, it's still the same thing. If you abide here, you dwell here, no sickness, no plague, no calamity come near this tent. It's not about taking it away from you. It's the fact of it can't touch you. Because as long as you do what I tell you to do, it can't touch you. That was the covenant. And the Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 8, we've got a better covenant established upon better promises. And when you begin to look at it, you begin to look at the distinction of what was provided under the old. And if we've got a better covenant, I mean, you look at the old, how much better can you get? No sickness, no disease, no barrenness, no miscarriages, no dying young. And we've got something better, because to have a better covenant, at the very least, you have to have the best of what was under the old. But what I began to find was that what we've done under Christianity is that we've preached, when you do get sick, Jesus is your healer. But under the old covenant, God wasn't preaching, when you do get sick, oh, He was preaching, as long as you do what I tell you to do, you'll never be sick another day in your life.
And we have a better covenant.
We've got something better.
You know, I have to tell you, when my producer came to me and said, Chad has a new book on healing, I said, we're overloaded on books on healing. Yeah. She said, no, this is different. Mm. But I want to know in your heart, why did you write this book?
I wrote this because I want to change. I want to change the landscape of healing. And I want it to look like Jesus. Because for far too long, we have preached a substandard version of healing.
Excuse me, you almost seem to be emotional over that statement. Why?
Because I know it's what I was, one, called to do. But number two, in the area of healing, we've basically seen Jesus misrepresented. Because the gospel of healing that we mostly hear today is how to receive your healing, the 1, 2, 3s, ABCs, all these things. How to get healed when you do get sick. It's not there. If under the Old Testament, God was saying, you'll never be sick. But under the New Covenant, we're saying, when you do get sick, Jesus is your healer. Basically, what we're saying is this. We haven't been bold to say it, but what we're saying is this, is that our faith in the blood of a goat actually provided more than the blood of Jesus. Hmm. We've actually accepted something that was less than the Old Covenant provided. The Old Covenant was simply there. If you do what I tell you to do. And of course, the Old Covenant was based on the works of the Israelites, right? But as long as you do what I tell you to do, these things can't touch you. Notice the language. I'll take sickness away from the midst of you. No sickness, no plague, calamity can come near you. It wasn't about taking it away from you. It was a fact of it can't touch you. And under the New Covenant, we have something even better. We have something, absolutely something better. Because under the New Covenant, it's not based on my works. It's based on the works of Jesus. And what we began to find is that He set me free from the very root of all the problem, and it was sin. When He set me free from the root of the problem, He set me free from all of the fruits that come from the root. And the fact of the matter is, we have a better covenant, and we have to believe that. But what has happened is we've allowed ourselves to be cheated. Colossians chapter 2, verse 6, Paul says, as you've received Christ, now walk in Him. But then he continues on and he says, but watch out, verse 8, don't be cheated. Don't be cheated by basing your beliefs according to philosophy and empty deceit, the traditions of men, what's normal in the world and not according to Christ. I have to look to Jesus, because Jesus, He is my Passover lamb. He's the lamb. And if that lamb under the old covenant, if that, my faith in that, could provide me what was provided under the old covenant, based on my works, if I do everything I'm supposed to do. But my faith in Jesus as the true, I mean, if the type and shadow could provide that, imagine what the reality of it could provide.
In this study that you did for this book, because it's packed with new revelation of biblical facts, I'm just curious, what part did it play with you losing your first wife to physical disease? What effect did that have on this, doing this book?
Well, one, I was mad that there was some vengeance there. But, you know, that experience with my first wife, Lacey, it didn't change my doctrine. We've got a problem in the body of Christ when we allow our experiences to change our doctrine. I'm not going to allow my experiences to change my doctrine. All it did was fuel a fire to go even further and get more things figured out. And I'm telling you, when I went back, I'd never really studied a lot of healing under the old covenant. But when I saw Hebrews 8, I was just thinking, We've got a better covenant established upon better promises. And the Holy Spirit prompted me, go back and study healing under the old covenant. And when I went back and saw what was provided under the old, I got so excited. I got so excited because, like, I've never seen this before. And all it did was open my eyes to this, possibilities. If that was possible for someone under the old covenant, what's possible for someone in Christ?
You know, if you're watching right now and you're struggling with a sickness, or you have a loved one struggling with a sickness, I want you to look at healing through fresh eyes, different than any book you've ever read on healing. Chad says Passover isn't just about the past. It's a revelation for believers today. Chad will teach you how to step into your divine revelation for health. It is a divine revelation. Be right back.
In his brand new book, Chad Gonzalez says, this is not just another healing book. It's really telling you who you are, not just what you need to get. Chad, through his deep understanding and real-life miraculous encounters with healing, will redefine your understanding of how God heals you.
God was not providing health insurance. He was providing a disease prevention. When we got set free from sin, we got set free from all of the results of sin. Jesus provided for us to be in a position to never be sick again.
Divine healing is your God-given spiritual inheritance. Walk in the healing that God has already placed inside of you. Get a healing reset as you throw off restrictive concepts, misunderstandings, and wrong doctrines about healing. Knowing your true identity in Messiah is your personal key to healing. Unlock new levels of God consciousness by accessing God's presence in and around you, and get positioned to never be sick again.
It's going to change the way you look at the area of divine healing.
Don't spend a lifetime trying to get what you already have. Call or go online at sidroth.org/10076 with your donation of $36 or more with free shipping for Chad Gonzalez's brand new book, Never Be Sick Again. Access supernatural health through Jesus' resurrection power. And you'll also receive Chad's exclusive new 2-CD set, God Conscious.
Chad says believers today are still struggling with sickness because they don't fully understand the Passover. What are we missing, Chad?
What I've seen over the years is that basically we've kind of put the cart before the horse. You know, so take 1 Peter 2:24, pretty familiar scripture. Mm-hmm. If you were to ask a lot of Christians, what does it say? Most would say, well, by the stripes of Jesus, you were healed. Well, it's partially true, but there's more to it. Because he says, you having died to sin, you would live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. In reality, what Peter is telling you is not what you need to get. He's telling you who you are. The focus is not on healing. The focus is righteousness. The focus is you died to sin. So we see in 2 Corinthians 5:21, Jesus who knew no sin, he became sin. He took on my sin and he became it. In the very same way he became my sin, I became righteous. Right? So what you see right there is that righteousness, you could say, is the root, and healing is a fruit. Just as sin is the root and sickness and disease is a fruit, righteousness is the root. Righteousness is the source. And so we spend a lot of time teaching the byproduct instead of teaching the source. And that's this book, Never Be Sick Again. Yes, it's about healing, but in reality, it's not teaching you what you need to receive. It's teaching you who you are. Because once you begin to understand your position in Christ, you begin to understand your possessions. And the focus has got to get back on Jesus instead of my circumstances, instead of my conditions. And again, it goes back to, we've been preaching a substandard version of the gospel of healing. We've been preaching under the new covenant. We've been preaching health insurance. But it's supposed to be disease prevention. Jesus came to set me free, not only from sin, but also from sickness and disease. And the Apostle Paul gives us a great little mini teaching of this in Romans chapter 6. He says, you died to sin. You're no longer a slave to sin. But then in verse 11, he says, now I need you to consider yourself dead to sin. In other words, this is what's happened for you, but now I need you to change your perspective. I need to change your imaginations, change the way that you see yourself. And what we're doing under this new covenant that's so wonderful, and what Jesus has truly provided for us, what we're doing is we're teaching these new creation truths, but we're teaching it from the perspective of the sinner. So, you know, you take the stories of Jesus. We go and we read the stories of Jesus healing the sick. But what happens is we teach the Christian to identify with all those sinners that were in need of healing instead of teaching them to identify with the Christ. How can I be one with Christ, and yet when it comes to application, I'm the sinner? We've created an identity crisis in the church. We've got to choose our side. Either you're sinner or you're righteous. The story of the woman with the issue of blood, it's preached all the time in the area of healing, all right? But I'm not the woman going after Jesus. Why? Because I'm no longer the sinner. There's two people in that story, righteous, unrighteous. Which one are you? Most people choose the woman because they identify with sick. But what's the possibility that I begin to teach people and we begin to identify with the Christ in the story? Now I'm no longer missing. I'm no longer lacking. I'm the one people are trying to get to touch because I have something on the inside of me that they don't have. Even when it comes to the laying hands on of the sick, in reality, that's the Christian laying hands on the sinner. But this is where we've created this identity crisis. We have Christians all over the world chasing after a special man or woman anointed by God. Mm-hmm. We want them to reach out and touch us. Why? Because we don't think we have on the inside of us what they have. But when we do our healing conferences and our healing talks or healing academy, we're teaching people what you have on the inside of you.
Well, what results are you seeing? Not for you. I know the results you're getting. Yeah. But for the person that walks in that has learned what, for lack of better words, the old understanding of healing. Yeah.
Well, what we're seeing happen is that people are getting healed. Because what I'm endeavoring to do is learn from the past. If you look at the past, when it comes to the area of healing, it's always been about getting to the man, getting to the woman. Why? Because the focus is on the preaching. Hey, when you come up to me, I'm going to lay my hands on you. You get healed. But why don't we advance a little bit further and past that? And why don't we start focusing on the man that's on the inside of you, the Christ? Because the more conscious you become of the Christ that's on the inside of you, I'm not dependent on another man to get me what Jesus got me. And how can I take to the world something I don't even know I have for myself? So well, that's what's happening as church. We preach by the stripes of Jesus, you were healed. And then we have the prayer line and say, now come up here and get your healing. Well, which one is it? Are you healed or are you not? And we've created, it's an identity crisis. You've got an identity crisis in the world. They can't figure out if they're a boy, girl, or cat. But I mean, in the church, we still can't figure out, are we the righteous or are we the sinner? Are we the son of God or are we the slave? We've got to get the identity thing fixed. It's always been an identity thing. The very first temptation of Eve was about identity. If you really are, you know, if you'll eat of this, you'll become like God, even though she already was, but she didn't know who she was, and she was deceived. The very first temptation of Jesus, if you really are the Son of God, turn these rocks into... It was identity. It's always been about identity. And when it comes to healing, if we would just make a simple little switch, teach people who they are, instead of focusing on what you think that you need, when you begin to identify with the Christ, you understand you have His life on the inside of you. That Chad, same life that raised Him from the dead.
Chad, because of time, and because this is so important, the reason He ties it in with Passover is because of the major ingredient to activate your healing. Talk about it, communion.
So this is so wonderful because you see, Jesus even... He talks about these things. So you look at John chapter 6, and Jesus is talking about the manna from heaven. But then He goes on and says this. He says, He who abides in me eats of my flesh and drinks my blood. And this is where He loses a lot of disciples because they think He's nuts. But He goes on and even says this. He said, He who eats of my flesh and drinks of my blood will live. And yet this word eats in the Greek, this isn't just a one-time thing. This is continual, a present continual thing. And then when you get over in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, when Paul's telling his instructions he got from the Lord about, you know, about Passover, the Lord's Supper, communion, he says this, and this is something that's missed so many times, I think we've misinterpreted, because he says, for this reason, some of you are sick, weak, and have died young. You haven't discerned the Lord's body. And what we've done with tradition is we've made communion about me. because we get people to say, you know, before you take communion, I want you to examine yourself. Make sure all your sins are, make sure you're good enough to take communion. We've made it, we've made it about me. We've taken a holy moment, made it about me instead of him. Because at what point does my love walk get good enough? What point? Either I'm righteous or I'm not. But what's the possibility that discerning the Lord's body, and that word discern means to judge, what if I begin to judge myself according to his body? You can look at it from the physical and the spiritual. From the physical, I can judge myself according to him. Those holes in his wrist and his side, the stripes on his back. He took my sin and my sickness.
I see something. What I see is the church, because they're having bad results, there's a reason why. They're double-minded. Mm-hmm. You're getting rid of this double mind. Would you take communion and pray over people that will be their... Now, I want you to do your own communion, but right now, Chad is going to take communion, and it will be your point of contact to release healing in all your flesh.
Yeah, so I do this for myself a lot, do it all the time. And I want you to look at this. You know, we have the juice, and we have the cracker, the bread. And Jesus said, you eat of my flesh, drink of my blood, you'll live. This is a present continual thing. And Paul says, judge yourself according to him. I can judge myself according to his physical body. He took on my sin, my sickness, my disease. He took on the curse. And yet on the spiritual side, I can see this. Jesus can't get sick anymore. And as he is, so am I.
That's where the title of your book came from.
Yeah. As he is, so I need to fully identify with Jesus right now. I identify with the glorified Christ. And so when we partake of this, not only do we do it in remembrance of what Jesus did for us, we do it in remembrance of who we are. We are one with him, and he is one with us. Let's go ahead and break and eat. In reality, this is a celebration. It's a remembrance, not only for what he did for me, but it's also a remembrance of who I am right now. I fully identify with him, the Lamb of God, the pure, the spotless one, the sinless one. And if sin was removed, if the source of the problem was taken care of, that means all the byproducts of the problem are taken care of too. When I begin to look at him and identify with him, I can begin to walk in him and experience him in every single way.
Pray for people to be healed right now.
All right. Father, I just thank you for those that are watching right now. First of all, I just pray that you would open up their eyes and help them to understand who they are, who you've made them to be, who you placed on the inside of them, the Christ. You know, the Apostle Paul, when he prayed in Ephesians 1, he wasn't praying that you would give them that exceeding great power. He was praying that they would know they have that dead-raising power on the inside of them. And Father, I just pray for those that are watching that right now, as they get a revelation of who they are in Christ and what you've done on the inside of them, regardless of what they've done or what they could do, that the very life of Jesus that flows in him at the right hand of God begins to flow on the inside of them, out of their spirit and into their body, into every cell, ligament, bone, tendon in their body, that new organs would begin to be formed, things that are missing would be recreated, not because of them, but because of the Christ that is on the inside of them. Father, I thank you for creative miracles taking place in bodies right now and all the testimonies that are going to come forth from this simply because of who they are in Christ. Amen.
And we settled it with amen. So be it.